a happy ending or the devil. Follow your thoughts wherever they lead. This is metaphor as faith. 5. Study a word's linguistic roots. Where does it take you? How far back must you go? What are you thinking about when you come to the source? For example, the word tragedy always makes me think of goats. Tragedy derives from the Greek tragus, which means goat. In ancient times, goats were used as sacrifices to the gods. The story goes that some goats ate the grape leaves in a vineyard of the gods, thus offending the deities. The goats took the fall. Eventually, the Greeks stopped sacrificing valuable goats, and in their place created rituals and plays to appease the gods. Heroes replaced goats, but the actors were only killed symbolically. Their characters took the fall. The plays were known as tragedies, after the goats. This is metaphor as theater. 6. Find two works of art you can connect to each other. What is the connection? Is this what the creators intended, or are you seeing something they didn't or perhaps couldn't see? You are making the works your own by putting them together in new and interesting ways. For example, I saw a blockbuster Picasso-Matisse exhibition that succeeded in demonstrating incredible parallels between the two painters. But what interested me more than the comparisons was my realization that Matisse would never have created his late-period paper cutouts if not for Picasso's youthful paper collages done 30 years earlier. I had always thought that cutouts were Matisse's invention. This exhibition suggested otherwise. The connection was a revelation to me. This is metaphor as curating. 7. Turn Narcissus around. Try to see another person in your image. Then reverse it, and try to see yourself in that person's image. Imagine your life if you had that person's wealth, or looks, or taste, or biases, or that person had yours. This is metaphor as empathy. And it's a common one. You're walking the proverbial mile in someone else's shoes. People do this every day. In its uglier incarnation, it is known as envy. Metaphor is all around you. It's never too late to raise your MQ. Chapter 9. Skill. Pope Leo X heard that Leonardo da Vinci was experimenting with the formulas for varnishes instead of executing a painting. He declared, "This man will never do anything, for he begins thinking about the end before the beginning of his work." However, Leonardo understood that the better you know the nuts and bolts of your craft, the more fully you can express your talents. The great painters are incomparable draftsmen. They also know how to mix their own paint, grind it, put in the fixative. No task is too small to be worthy of their attention. The great composers are usually dazzling musicians. They have to know their instrument before they can make it sing the tune in their head. Johann Sebastian Bach took this further, learning how to build organs as a young man, and becoming one of Europe's leading experts on its sound. He literally knew the instrument inside and out. A great chef can chop and dice better than anyone in his kitchen. The best fashion designers are invariably virtuosos with a needle and thread. Even when they have armies of assistants preparing their designs, they still know how to cut and sew better than anyone working for them. The best writers are well-read people. They have the richest appreciation of words, the biggest vocabularies, the keenest ear for language. They also know their grammar. Words and language are their tools, and they have learned how to use them. Joseph Epstein blanches with anger and embarrassment when he runs across a word he doesn't know. To him, not knowing a word is like a doctor not knowing the name of an obscure but vital nerve, or a carpenter forgetting the name of a type of nail. Perhaps he's being a bit extreme, too harsh on himself. It's impossible to know all the million-plus words in the English language. But you can't help admiring his desire to know them all. A successful entrepreneur can do everything and anything. Stock the warehouse, negotiate with vendors, develop a product, design an ad campaign, close a deal, placate an unhappy customer. As well as, if not better than, anyone working for him. What all these people have in common is that they have mastered the underlying skills of their creative domain and built their creativity on the solid foundation of those skills. Skill gives you the wherewithal to execute whatever occurs to you. Without it, you are just a font of unfulfilled ideas. Skill is how you close the gap between what you can see in your mind's eye and what you can produce. The more skill you have, the more sophisticated and accomplished your ideas can be. With absolute skill comes absolute confidence, allowing you to dare to be simple. Picasso once said, while admiring an exhibition of children's art, "When I was their age, I could draw like Raphael, but it has taken me a whole lifetime to learn to draw like them." You're kidding yourself if you put creativity before craft. Craft is where our best efforts begin. You should never worry that rote exercises aimed at developing skills will suffocate creativity. At the same time, it's important to recognize that demonstrating great technique is not the same as being creative. Bach, Mozart, and Beethoven were all keyboard virtuosi. But each demanded more of his magic than the exploitation of keyboard skill. Beethoven, for example, wrote greater and more difficult music in his later years, when his keyboard skills declined, than he did in his youth. The craft in his fingers had diminished, but the skill in his head had grown. An awareness of your particular set of skills will tell you what sets you apart. When asked to explain his success, Billy Joel says, "I have a job where I get to do only things I'm good at doing. I can sing in tune, I can play an instrument, I can write songs, and I can get on stage and perform. I'm not a virtuoso at any single one. I'm competent, and I do my job. But I'm in a field, the music industry, that sees this as extraordinary."